Good morning. Welcome to the First Unitarian Universalist Church of Austin. This morning's service is brought to you by the Covenant of Unitarian Universalist Pagans, so you're going to see something slightly different than our usual order of service, but if you've been here one times or many, we would like you to come back and visit us again so that you might also find a way to make this church your spiritual home. It's going to be an interesting service today, and I hope that the pagans and the Covenant of Unitarian Universalist Pagans will introduce themselves a little bit to you and some of their beliefs in a way that will make them more accessible to you. I know that I was here for the first service, and it certainly did that for me.
By the earth which is your body, and by the grove which is his home.
By the air which is her breath, and the music which is his song.
By the fire of her bright spirit, and the heat of his passion.
By the waters of her living womb, and the dew of his tears.
By all that is above, and all that is below, and by all that swirls in the center. The center is cast. The circle is cast. We are between the worlds.
Beyond the bounds of time, where night and day, birth and death, joy and sorrow meet as one. And what affects the place between the worlds affects all worlds. So mote it be.
So mote it be. By the power of the mother of all life and her lover, the horned god, hail and welcome.
She changes everything she touches, and everything she touches changes. She changes everything she touches, and everything she touches changes.
So, we're going to start with the chorus and then go into the verses, okay?
She changes everything she touches, and everything she touches changes. She changes everything she touches, and everything she touches changes. Let the spiral turn and turn. The wind will blow, the fire will burn. Water flows onto the earth. As we dance from death to birth, she changes everything she touches, and everything she touches changes. She changes everything she touches, and everything she touches changes. On the same wheel we spin, out of life and in again, one to many and many to one. Brewing in her cauldron, she changes everything she touches, and everything she touches changes. She changes everything she touches, and everything her touches changes. Her name cannot be spoken. Her face was not forgotten. Her power is to open. Her promise cannot be broken. She changes everything she touches, and everything she touches changes. She changes everything she touches, and everything she touches changes. Everything lost is found again, in a new form, in a new way. Everything hurt is healed again, in a new life, in a new way. She changes everything she touches, and everything she touches changes. She changes everything she touches, and everything she touches changes.
The reading today is from the preface to a book called The Spell of the Sensuous by David Abram. Humans are tuned for relationship, For the largest part of our species' existence, humans have negotiated relationships with every aspect of the sensuous surroundings, exchanging possibilities with every flapping form, with each textured surface and shivering entity that we happen to focus upon. All could speak, articulating in gesture and whistle and sigh, a shifting web of meanings that we felt on our skin and inhaled through our nostrils or focused with our listening ears, and to which we replied, whether with sounds or through movements or minute shifts of mood, the color of sky, the rush of waves, every aspect of the earthly sensuous could draw us into relationship, a meeting with thunder, with oak, with dragonfly. And from all of these relationships, our collective sensibilities were nourished. Today, we participate almost exclusively with other human beings and with our own human-made technologies. It's a precarious situation given our age-old reciprocity with the many-voiced landscape. We still need that which is other than ourselves and our own creations. We are human only in contact and conviviality with what is not human. Does this imply that we must renounce all of our complex technologies? It does not. But we must renew our acquaintance with the sensuous world. Without the oxygenating breath of the forests, without the clutch of gravity and the tumbled magic of river rapids, we have no distance from our technologies, no way of assessing their limitations, no way to keep ourselves from turning into them. We need to know the textures, the rhythms, and tastes of the world in all its more than human mystery. Only in regular contact with the tangible ground and sky can we learn how to orient and to navigate in the multiple dimensions that now claim us.
Green God, grass God.
Green God, grass God.
Living God of the garden.
Living God of the garden.
Hey-ho, hey-ho.
Hey-ho, hey-ho.
Come unto us. Okay. We're going to start with the first verse. And again, it's in your order of service on this little sheet. Green God, grass God.
Green God, grass God.
Living God of the garden.
Living God of the garden.
Hey ho, hey ho.
Hey ho, hey ho.
Come unto us. Green God, rose God.
Green God, rose God.
Living God of the blossoms.
Living God of the blossoms.
Hey ho, hey ho.
Hey ho, hey ho.
Come unto us. Green God, lily God.
Green God, lily God.
Living God of the waters.
Living God of the waters.
Hey ho, hey ho.
Hey ho, hey ho.
Come unto us. Green God, planting God.
Green God, planting God.
Living God of the earth.
Living God of the earth.
Hey ho, hey ho.
Hey ho, hey ho.
Come unto us. A living God, mushroom God.
Green God, mushroom God.
Living God of the fungi.
Living God of the fungi.
Hey ho, hey ho.
Hey ho, hey ho.
Come unto us. Green God, old God.
Green God, old God.
Living God of the deep wood.
Living God of the deep wood.
Hey ho, hey ho.
Hey ho, hey ho.
Come unto us. Amazing life, turning ever onward through repeated patterns, often the same. Never the same again.
veering unexpectedly in ways I didn't know I needed to go. Really awful, standing here in quiet, zany joy that is so close to anger, to pain, to love. Why? I can never fully know why. Every tempted answer is just a pale reflection of the blazing integrity of the question. The unanswered why shines in the sky at night, blooms in the field by day, animates every common burning bush, and guides me as I walk through this amazing life. May we find connection and communion, gratitude and grace in our relationship with the unanswered why of our lives. Amen. My name is Jeannie Martin, and I've been a member of this church for about 13 years. I've been on the listening ministry group, and I've done a lot of different things. I've been a Sunday school teacher and participated in different ways. But this is kind of the reason why I'm here today. There's a poem by Robert Browning that has a couple of lines in it that have always stuck with me. Earth is crammed with heaven, every common bush afire with God, but only he who sees takes off his shoes. I've always liked that. What if Moses and the burning bush was not something weird that happened on a mountain to some famous guy in the Bible? What if that was something that could happen to anybody, anywhere? An awakening awareness of the sacred in the here and now. We relate to our world much of the time as if it was an it. We relate to an it. We use it, manipulate it, work with it, speak to it, but not with it. It might be with a tree or a rock, or even sometimes with people around us. This is a necessary part of our daily lives. We have to do these things just to get things done and get the house clean and go to work and come home and take care of things and be efficient and deal with life. Soldiers are taught to see the enemy as an it. Our culture teaches us to see nature as an it. But relating to an it is in opposition to it, and to some degree, we become less human as a result. Then a time might come unexpectedly when we become aware of something more, when we get some sense of something profoundly alive and an otherness, something sacred there. It might be that we fall in love. It might be that we just have this overwhelming feeling of connectedness. I don't know whether this really applies, but sometimes I talk to my car. It's not really an it when I'm talking to it. But this vow relationship opens us up to communion and dialogue, to gratitude and grace, to a greater sense of self, a greater humanity. This happened to me recently in the Blanco River. I was with a group of teachers on a field trip to see the dinosaur tracks that are there. And I stood on the limestone riverbed that was a beach 100 million years ago when 10-ton animals came walking by, leaving their tracks in the history of Earth. I looked up at the cliff face that was layers of sediments that had been laid down over eons of time, and the rocks dripped with little springs that seeped out all down the cliff. the spring supported moss and button bush and obedient flowers, grapevines and willow trees in a green tangle. And then the springs dripped on down to a little ledge that was a little tiny swamp full of cricket frogs and tadpoles. And then it dripped again down into another little world that was the river full of sunfish and perch and Guadalupe bass and little minnows that tried to hide under the ledge of the rock so that they thought I couldn't see them. I wasn't the only one that saw the sacred in that place that day. We had a whole conversation about it, the teachers and I. The earth was very crammed with heaven right there, right then. I was lucky to have others that saw what I saw that day. Sometimes when these things hit you, you just think you're nuts. People around you think you're a little nuts. But I'm used to people thinking I'm crazy, so I look around me and I wonder where else might I find heaven crammed into the earth. Maybe I just wasn't seeing it. It's this sense of belonging to the earth, of finding moments of these thou relationships that guide and inspire me. The hardest part for me is when I get into the label game. What label am I going to put on for these beliefs that I have? I believe that Jesus taught us that heaven is here and now. The kingdom of heaven is here, he said. That we're all the children of God. But I don't believe that Jesus is God. And I don't think that I need to be saved from some original sin. So some people would think that I can't call myself a Christian. And other people would say, sure, go ahead. So the label thing is a problem. I like the connectedness to the earth that's associated with many pagan beliefs. But the dictionary says a pagan is a country rustic who believes in many gods and who is not a Christian, a Jew, or a Muslim. Well, I don't know about the dictionary. Sometimes I question the dictionary. But that too is a label that I can't entirely accept or reject. I have to kind of bend it and play with it a little. What I do believe is that there's one overriding, overwhelming spirit. Whether you call it God or goddess or thou or whatever. And I find that my understanding of that spirit is enhanced by bringing many names to it. Names that are more about the varieties of my relation to the thou than about anything else. They remind me, these names, they remind me of things I need to know. Of mystery and awe, of communion and dialogue, of gratitude and grace. Osiris is rebirth. Coyote and Anansi are the tricksters that teach me in spite of myself. Iris is the multicolored rainbow of people and ideas. Demeter is the nurturing mother, and Artemis is the fierce, strong woman. Green Man is the nurturing father, and Horned God is the fierce, strong man. I love the way Native people thank the deer and the buffalo for feeding them. Of the way they sing the world into being and recognize their relation to it. These names come from people all over the world that we call pagan. They have gods of forests and springs, of rain and wind, of creation and death, of rebirth and harvest, of light and darkness. I'm not a native of anywhere. I've chosen my home just as I've chosen my faith. In some ways, I wish for a sense of place that's as powerful as the Aborigines or the Navajo or the Greeks. But in some ways, I'm glad to be just here and now in myself. Because I get to come to the table of the world and learn from all of it. Instead of being a native of nowhere, I discover that I'm a native of Earth. I find what works for me. The only label I've ever felt completely comfortable with is that of heretic. The origin of the word heretic is someone who chooses their beliefs. I can wear that one. I can call myself a Unitarian Universalist because where else could I bring all that I am? Where else can I go around proclaiming myself to be a nutcase Christian pagan heretic, native of Earth, who goes around sometimes standing barefoot before every common burning bush?
My name is Brooks Lewis, and I've been a member of this church for 1 week. I want to tell you a story. Once upon a time, we were all country bumpkins. We all lived on the land. We all depended on the land for our livelihood. We all felt that the land was sacred because it gave us the life that we needed. And that went on for a while, and then we started kind of bunching ourselves up into groups and building cities and towns and walls that protected us from this nature. I'm a Unitarian because this is a place where beliefs are honored, where sacred space is created, and people can worship as they wish. And I'm a pagan because I believe that I grew out of the earth. I wasn't dropped from space. I grew out of this place. And this is the place that I'm going to be until I return to Earth again. I am very happy to be a Unitarian because it honors my beliefs. There's a great tradition in Unitarianism that began back in America's history with a group called the Transcendentalists, who talked about our connectedness to everything, who talked about the ability to find God and Goddess in every breath and in every flower and in every drop of rain. And because they honored that tradition, that's why I'm here today. I am a human being. I am a native of Earth. I'm a man. I'm a pagan.
Good morning. My name is Amy Hopper, and I am a member of the CUPS group. I was raised a Catholic, and all my life I have identified with Catholicism as not just a religion, but also as a way of life. To be Catholic is to have 2,000 years of history, tradition, and ritual supporting you and what you believe in. For me, that was a comfort and something that I felt made me unique. I'm still a person interested and intrigued and drawn to history, tradition, and ritual. For me, Christmas is not Christmas unless I am at midnight mass with my family in Houston. I am still also in the habit of calling any kind of religious service a mass, which frequently gives my CUPS colleagues something to laugh about. As I became an adult and went off to college and started to experience more of the greater world around me, I began to realize that something wasn't quite right. My burgeoning feminism, political beliefs, and most recently and most sadly, the church's own horrible path in harboring child molesters alienated me from the church completely. I discovered Unitarian Universalism through my husband's interest and found a place that accepts my political views and my gender views. And I am a Unitarian Universalist because I have found no better place for myself with one church and many beliefs. I discovered paganism when I attended a small ritual, some of the elements you have experienced this morning, and I only observed. I am quite shy, and I was mostly apprehensive about what would happen. What I experienced was a ritual very close in nature to the ritual of a Catholic Mass. Some of the elements were, in fact, the exact same. It was like someone had taken the blinders off, and I realized that spirituality and ritual could be experienced at any time and by any person. This was groundbreaking to me. I began to read about paganism. My favorite books thus far have been The Spiral Dance and When God Was a Woman. The books informed me on this growing movement, the thought behind its philosophy and ritual, and on some of the history of the early Catholic Church and how early Catholics adopted many of the folk holidays into their new religion in order to win converts. Quite simply, I was amazed at this new world. As my education about paganism broadened, I began to discover for myself the kind of pagan that I was. There are many kinds of pagans, some weird, some really weird. I am the kind of pagan that does not believe in living gods or veils between the worlds or spells or magic. I am a pagan because I like that the ritual of the religion can be whatever you need it to be. I'm a pagan because there is ritual and tradition and history, and it's not hard for me to make the jump from Catholic holidays to pagan holidays. I'm a pagan because I appreciate nature and the cycles that we live through along with our planet. I am now aware of solstices and equinoxes and all the points in between, and I feel then that I am a more aware member of this planet community and of the impact that I have as a member of that community. What I like best is reading the different goddess mythologies of different cultures, and that's such a paradigm shift for me to think of God as a goddess, is not God in a skirt, but of a divine that is feminine in nature. I use goddess mythology now the way I used parables as a child, a powerful story that, coming from a feminine point of view, informs my life and offers lessons to be learned and truths to follow. I think the future of paganism is a bright one. I think that more and more people will identify themselves as pagan because either they were raised pagan by our current generation, or as young people search for meaning and a way to express that meaning that identifies with their experience, they will find paganism. It seems to me that traditional religion is rigid and maintains a rigid worldview. From what I've seen, young people are more aware than I was at their age that the world is anything but rigid, and that the religion they were raised with does not speak to their world. And though we live in a society that survives through the strength of its mainstream, it is increasingly more accepted to live slightly off that mainstream, which paganism certainly is. I am glad to be a part of this service this morning, because unlike our portrayal in popular cultures and movies you might have seen, pagans being people who wear a great deal of black clothing, black eyeliner, and black lipstick, pagans are you. Pagans are the person sitting next to you. Pagans are your coworkers. Pagans are your friends. It may be that from what you've seen today or from what you've heard or what you've experienced, you are interested in learning more about paganism, and that's great. Or maybe you're not, and that's great too. If all we're able to do today is to provide you with information that helps you to understand the next time you experience something pagan, okay. But hopefully we were able to do just a little bit more in showing you another part of our broadly diverse and proudly diverse Unitarian Universalist community. Thank you.
And there you have it. One church, many beliefs.
Fur and feathers and scales and skin, different without and the same within. Many a body, but one the soul. By all creatures are the gods made whole. Fur and feathers and scales and skin, different without, but the same within. Many a body, but one the soul. By all creatures are the gods made whole. Fur and feathers and scales and skin, different without but the same within. Many a body but one the soul. By all creatures are the gods made whole.
Thank you, water, for compassion, love, and dreams. Stay if you will, go if you must. Hail and farewell, water.
Thank you, fire, for intensity, energy, and protection. Stay if you will, go if you must. Hail and farewell, fire.
Thank you, air, for knowledge, communication, and new beginnings. Stay if you will, go if you must. Hail and farewell, air.
Thank you, earth, for stability, strength, and mystery. Stay if you will, go if you must. Hail and farewell, Earth.
Thank you, Spirit, for transformation and unification. Stay if you will, go if you must. Hail and farewell, Center.
Thank you, the Mother of all life, and the Lover, the Horn God, for joining us here today. Please watch over us and guide us until we meet again. Stay if you will, go if you must. Hail and farewell.